We are so glad you're with us. We are in a series called Sticks and Stones, and this Sunday and the next Sunday we'll wrap up the series, and we're talking about the power of words, right? Words have power. Through this series, starting out, we learned through James chapter 3, the power of the tongue, right? That out of this comes life and death, that there's so much that happens with just a small part of our body, and I'll get to a main point in a second with that. We talked about the power of God's word, meaning when God spoke, he created all things. Like, that's how powerful the word of God is, and we are created in God's image, and so for us too, our words have power, you know? Just as God's word created all things, our words have power when they come out. Then Pastor Jim talked about blessing and cursing, meaning we have the ability to bless people and curse people. And we learn and understand when you experience blessing and cursing, either one lasts a long, long, long time. Right? And so we need to be careful with what we're doing with our words, blessing or cursing. In the last week, I gave you some very practical things and talked about the four styles, communication styles. Okay? Who heard that last week? Just show of hands who was with us last Sunday, just so I can see. All right? So last Sunday, we talked about four. If you didn't see last Sunday, I would encourage you to go back, watch the message online, because it really helps with each of us assessing how we communicate, how we talk to other people, how we hear and listen to other people. And what happens in that communication. Now, one of our key verses, and I know you probably can't see this screen from a lot of where you guys are. I use it to preach from, so these are my notes, okay? And those of you online, you can see it, so you got a little bonus. But this is the passage from Proverbs 18:21. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Those who use a lot of words are going to eat a lot of words eventually, right? They'll be held into account of all the words that they use, what you use. And we want to be the type of people that use our words well, because our main point for the series is our words determine the direction of our lives. What we say points us in certain directions, right? The words we use in relationships will determine the direction of that relationship. The words we use online are going to determine the direction of relationships online, right? What we say will end up pointing us in the direction of our life. And so we want to use our words really, really well. We don't want to abuse them. And today we get to talk about a really awesome topic. I want to see if you can catch up on this and what this is. So this is what we're talking about. Listen to this paragraph. "Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers and cause heartache and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief, make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am gossip." Gossip. Powerful. Gossip's probably the sneakiest thing about our words, because most of us don't think we do that, right? Most of us think, we don't really, we're not malicious towards people, or we don't say things behind people's backs. I think this one, when we're talking about the power of words, is one of the sneakiest ones out there. Because if you're angry and you yell at somebody, that's easy, right? It's like, dude, chill out, right? You're just coming across as a jerk. Or if you say something that's directly malicious about somebody and you just attack somebody verbally, of course, we see that. This one, gossip, this one is sneaky. Gossip is really, really sneaky. So you guys ready to hop into gossip? Woohoo! Yeah, we're excited about this one. All right. Let me define what gossip is so that we have what we're talking about here. Gossip is idle talk which foolishly or maliciously spreads rumors or facts. See, we think that gossip is just spreading rumors and lies about somebody. It's not. Gossip is also speaking truth that you have no business speaking, right? That if you're talking about something foolishly or maliciously. So foolishly would be like you're saying something, but you just don't even really understand what you're saying. That's what a fool does. That's how a fool speaks. They're not counting their words. They just start talking about somebody, even though they're not there. That's foolish, right? Malicious is where they have evil intent, meaning they're trying to manipulate, they're trying to control, they're trying to do something. So malicious, you know, foolishness and maliciousness, they spread rumors, which is like, I heard somebody say something, and so that somebody's going to say something to somebody else. That's just a rumor. Or it could even be facts. Because you can actually be saying something true about somebody else to somebody else. But is it yours to say? Is it your truth to share? So gossip is sneaky. Gossip is a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky thing. I was reading this week about a teacher that kept having problems with a kid in his class. And the kid would like kind of act up in class. And the teacher started hearing stories from this kid about what happened at his home. And so he's, you know, telling the teacher, well, this happened at home last night and that happened at home last night. And it's like, uh-oh. I've heard teachers, you know, kind of start hearing things about homes. They're like, I don't want to know. Like, you know, like it's like too much information. And then at one point, the parent wrote a letter to the teacher saying, hey, my kid said this and this and this about you at school and this and this and this. And so she, the teacher, wrote a note back. And this is what it said. It said, if you promise not to believe everything your child says happens at school, I'll promise not to believe everything your child says happens at home. Right? Because we can believe things, even though they could be made up, or they might be true, but they should have never been spoken of. They should have never been heard. See, I believe that right now, one of the sneakiest things right now is social media, and we talk about that often because it's an evasive part of our culture now. It's just a part of life for many people, just social media. And I believe that 80% of the things on social media should have never been posted. I also believe that 90% of statistics are made up on the spot. So I don't know what the percentage is. I'm just making that up as well. That's a joke. Is everybody with me? Is this thing on? Test 1, 2, 3. Right? I just think a lot of what people say should have never been said. It should have never been reposted. Because so often when we repost something, somebody might say, well, I didn't say it. They said it. But when you repost it, you said it. That's what people don't understand. If you repost something and I read it, I say, they said that. Because you agree with what was said. So now I believe those were your words. And so, again, gossip. Even if it's true, it may not be your truth to preach. And a lot of what is online. I think there was a quote by Abraham Lincoln that said, don't believe what you always read on the internet. I think it was true. He was really wise. He was a really wise man. Abraham Lincoln was. Like, you know, everybody with me? Right? So let me read some scripture. There's a lot of scripture we're going to talk about today. Because in the Proverbs, we see the book of Proverbs is all about not being foolish, but being wise. Right? It's moving from foolishness or simple thinking to wisdom. And here's a few Proverbs, and they're listed in your program if you want to read these at some point. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the man's inmost parts. It's like, oh, juicy tidbit, you know. 10:8 says, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. You guys remember when Pastor Jim said the word fool is a pretty powerful word in Scripture? When you're called a fool, watch out. And when you're called a fool in the Proverbs, that's like the lowest rating you can have in the Proverbs. It's wise, simple, and fool. It says, like, those that spread slander, they're fools. They're foolish. 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension and gossip, and a gossip separates close friends. Has anybody had that happen in friendships? Somebody said something behind your back to somebody else, and then it just destroyed that relationship, right? It's hard to gain trust to begin with, and when you lose it, it's really hard to get back. Trust is one of the key ingredients in healthy relationships. And so gossip just rips apart trust, and it tears apart friendship. 2019 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Avoid him. Those that just... Like this proverb saying, just don't be. I'm saying Proverbs says, it says, avoid a man who talks too much. Here's my first point, okay? This, and I'm talking about gossip, all right? So let me talk about gossip. Distance yourself from those who gossip is a biblical truth. If you're around somebody who continually is talking to you about somebody else or something else that they have no business sharing with you, avoid them. Don't be friends with them. Don't hang out in the break room with them. Don't walk down the hallway during school with that person. Like, it's okay to create a boundary and distance in relationship with somebody who continually is gossiping. Because what will happen? There's something we all want. We all want to belong. We all want friendship. And if we're around somebody that continually does that, at some point, our sense of belonging and our need for friendship is going to be overpowered by that gossip, right? And then we might start saying something to feel like we belong in the conversation. Oh, yeah, well, I heard. And then we get sucked into it. So encouragement, number one, point number one, avoid or distance yourself from those who are gossips, those that continually talk about things they have no business talking about. I would take this another distance and another level. I would say unfollow those online who continually spread gossip. If that's their mainstream of what's going on their social media, unfollow. Because you'll start to believe things that aren't true. And you might actually start reposting things that they got from somebody else that weren't true, and now it's you saying it. Is everybody with me? All right. This is just, I'm trying to be very practical in this teaching. All right. So that's point number one. This is what another proverb says this, or 1 Corinthians actually, New Testament 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It does all the time. Bad company corrupts good character. You can even be a person of good character, but if you are walking with somebody with bad character, if they're continually being corrupt, they're continuing gossiping, your sense of belonging, need for friendship is going to override your good character at some point. It's like when those good kids hang out with the bad kids. Who usually gets influenced? The good kid, right? The good kid all of a sudden, I didn't know I was going to get in trouble for that. It's like, yeah, you did. Like, so let's be wise as Christians, like who we are following, who we're around, and if we need to distance ourselves from a relationship, that is okay. That is okay. We need to, though, learn how to respond to individuals and just to public and to the culture we live in a healthy way with our words, okay? So we're going to dig into a passage. This is our main passage in 1 Peter. So if you have your Bibles, you have a Bible app, that kind of stuff, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 3 with me. We're going to be there here for the biggest chunk of the message. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 16, and we're going to hop into it. So everybody opening that up, or I doubt you can see my screen. I will read it out loud, though, okay, so you guys can follow along. So 1 Peter, this passage is a challenging one for us when we're talking about words. This is what it says, okay? Is everybody with me? If you are, say yep. All right, everybody aligned? Yep, you're with me? All right, this is what it says. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So we see this challenge in the character of a Christian, right? It's like, this is how we're supposed to live. This is what a Christ follower is supposed to look like. We're supposed to be sympathetic, we're showing love, we're compassionate, we're humble, right? Verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. This is hard, isn't it? Do not repay evil for evil. There's something inside of us that longs for justice, isn't there? Like when somebody does something wrong to you, there's just something inside of us like, something wrong should happen to them, right? Like they should be arrested or something bad should. There's this natural thing inside of us that wants that. So when we see injustice or something happens to us, it's injustice. Like, hope they get theirs, and so that can build up in us, right? But the Christ follower is different, right? He says, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Remember, we talk about blessing and cursing. When there's somebody who is evil speaking, gossips, that kind of stuff, we don't return fire with the same thing they fired at us. We return with blessing. We bless them. We encourage them. We say something kind to them. We say something kind about the person they're talking about. We move it to the blessing side, the positive side of whatever is going on in that scene. That is the call of a Christ follower. He says, why? Because to this, you were called as Christians. Like, this isn't just like a, well, maybe we should do this or not. Like, this is a calling from God for us as Christ followers our desire is to bless, not curse, even when we are cursed and evil's done against us. Because this you are called, that you may inherit a blessing. I always ask that question. Who wants to inherit blessings, right? It's like, duh. You know, like, yes. Like, that's the part we want about the Christian life. We want the blessing. You know, we want to experience the good things of God. We want that stuff on our lives, but we don't normally do the things to receive it. He's saying, for those who live like this, those who bless when those curse against you, those who speak life when others give insult to, they now have inherited, they've received a blessing, an eternal one from God, God's blessing in their life. So who wants the end result? I do. I want to inherit that blessing. Who wants to do the hard work at the front end? Uh-oh. That's where it gets hard. We have to practice this as Christians. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. You see what he's saying? Like, if you want to live long, if you want to love life, if you want to see good days, don't be a gossip. Don't speak against others. Don't bring negative things to other people's lives. Like, if you want to see good long days, if you want to receive inherent blessing, keep yourself from those things. Instead, let's keep reading. Verse 11, they must turn from evil and do good, and they must seek peace and pursue it. These are the good things, right? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So there's a certain person that God is facing towards. Who is it? It's the righteous. That's what it says. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's who he's facing. And their prayers, it says, and the ears are, his ears are attentive to their prayer. When we live in accordance to God's calling for us as Christ followers, and we're doing the good things, and we're seeking peace, and we're speaking blessing over other people, God's eyes are on us. He hears our prayers, and he's attentive to our prayers. So maybe some of you, your prayer life has been kind of flat. Maybe you're like, he's not really answering me. I would ask you the question, how's your life? Are you living in a way to point towards his directions, that his ears would be pointing towards you, or his face would be pointing towards you to be attentive to your prayer? Are you living that kind of life to receive what he has for you, right? That's the challenge. But his face is against those who do evil. So when it comes to justice, just, you know, God is just. Those who do evil are going to receive it in their due time. And sometimes it's not on this earth. And for us, that's like, that sucks. They should be, you know, in jail, or they should be this or that. That's when we release that to God. God, in due time, you show your justice. You treat them how you want to, God. That's not on us. Verse 13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do you hear this word blessed again? Do not fear their threats and do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. When people see you living that kind of life, they should be looking at you saying, something's different. Something's different. What, you don't want to talk bad about people. And every time I talk bad about somebody, you talk good to me. Something's different. And they're going to ask you questions. Why are you different? Here's why. I've accepted God and Christ in my life, and I've received mercy and grace, and I'm probably one of the worst sinners. And so I don't want to talk about other people's issues. I got my own. And let me tell you about Christ, what he's done. And then he tells you how to do it. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed at their slander. So that those who are gossiping, those who are spreading rumors against you, those who are saying bad things behind your back, your life would be lived in such a way that others would see and say, that's not true. That they would be the ones that look stupid. They would be the ones that look like a fool. But you had nothing to do with that, right? That they would be ashamed of their slander, because you're living a godly, upright life. This is hard. I've had some people like stab me in the back over and over and over again. I've had people in the church try to take me down, literally, and get rid of me and all sorts of just nasty stuff. throw gossips and rumor about my character to the community. And I'm like, and I'll say, those struggles that I had, there's still part of me that wants bad things for them. That's sin nature, right? That's that, But when I see this, I choose to live in such a way that no matter what they say about me, those that know me would know better. Those that see me and see the way I live and see the way I serve and see the way I serve in the community and the way we give to this community and the way I serve and bless our schools and the leadership in our schools and the way I'm connected in relationship with people, that they would be the ones that would be ashamed of their slander, right? When we choose to live in such a way that they have nothing bad to say about us, that's when we experience God's blessing, right? It's not easy, but it's good, and it's our choice as Christians. Here's my next point. As Christ followers, as Christians, we have to choose to speak blessing on others. We have to. We're called to it. Because when we speak blessing unto others, we receive blessing from God. Instead of cursing others who curse us, and we bless them and say, well, when we seek truth, we know that hurt people, right? Broken people hurt other people. Broken people are going to say bad things about good people. That's just going to happen. And so when we see their own brokenness, and we see that God can have grace for them just as he had for me, I can instead choose to bless them, encourage them, show them Christ. What they do with it is their choice, right? We can't force anybody to do anything. And maybe some of you have learned that already. You can't change anybody. You can't force anybody to change. It's not going to happen. You can love them, and you can love them to change, and you can encourage them, and you can bless them, and you can speak life to them and continually bring truth into their life. But it's their choice. It's their choice. Our choice is to bless others, and in so doing, receive blessing from God. Okay? All right. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now, I want to get very practical, okay? Now, those of you who have sermon notes, you'll want to write these down, because I wanted to get to some simple things for us as Christians to ask ourselves to see what we're doing, to see if we're blessing or we're cursing. Are we gossiping or are we not? Is this something I should say? Is this something I shouldn't say? Because it can be tricky at times. Like, should I say it? Should I not share it? Like, because there's a lot of different ways to gossip, right? There's the beauty shop gossip, you know? Have you ever, I don't go to the beauty shop, but I hear that people talk, right? And then that's, a lot of people hear news at the beauty shop where it's this and that. And did you hear about, what's she going to do? You're going to sit there and talk about it. So that's maybe one type of gossip, the beauty shop gossip. It's like, well, we're trying to be innocent. You may not even know this person, but, you know, you kind of just talk about stuff of what's going on. There can be the prayer request gossip. You know what I'm talking about? This is where they like super spiritualize, but then they say something bad about somebody. It's like, I don't want to say anything bad about, but I have a prayer request. We need to be praying for Betty because she's really arguing with her husband and da da da. And they start going on and on and on. And it's like, we didn't need to know all that, right? Like the prayer request gossip. That, just don't do that, all right? There's all different ways to gossip and tricks to get in to say something. Because when we say something that we know that somebody else doesn't know, there's something that happens inside of us. It makes us feel important, right? Knowing something that somebody else doesn't know makes us feel important. So probably at the root of gossip is pride. It's selfishness, right? It can be jealousy, like, oh, let me tell you what they did, and they went on vacation here, and can you believe, I don't know how they afford that. And really, you're just jealous that they got to go on vacation and you didn't, right? Jealousy can be at the root of gossip and slandering other people. It could be insecurity. A lot of people, not a lot, I shouldn't say that. Like, there are people who try to tear down other people to make themselves feel important because they're just insecure. They want to seem better than somebody else so that in this group they can feel like they can belong in that group. Like, I'm important enough to belong. Did you hear about so-and-so and so-and-so? And so they squash other people to try to build their own insecurity to feel like they belong, right? Insecurity is a part of that. Bitterness just can be at the root of it. Like, you just hate somebody, so you just want to rip them apart, right? Like bitterness towards somebody in relationships. Self-righteousness, people who just actually think they are better than everybody else. That can be dangerous. There's a lot of things that are at root to wanting to say things that are not ours to say. And we sometimes don't understand the weight of those words to somebody else. I've seen the complexities of conflict in a lot of different ways. Just in my role, I see it, you know, as a pastor. I've seen it inside of churches. I coach other churches and church planners and pastors. And a lot of times I'm coaching them because something's going on inside their church that's really bad. And there's people talking about other people, not talking against the leadership amongst other people. Or it happens in workplaces all the time. It happens in schools and school buildings and teachers and students and sports. I mean, it kind of happens everywhere. But when there is talk like that, that creates a toxicity in a culture, the enemy is won, right? The enemy's won. He's done his job. His desire is continually to bring people to pieces, to create disunity and confusion, to pull people apart from one another and to keep them apart. That's the enemy's work. That's what he does all the time. And if we as Christ followers don't choose to be part of the solution, the problem will just continue to grow, right? We have to be a part of the solution. We have to be a part of the people who bless others to bring encouragement. And a lot of times for us as Christians, it just means holding our tongues, right? It just means don't say it. Just hold it in. Don't speak that. It's not yours, right? I love this quote by Calvin Coolidge. He says, I never got in trouble for something I didn't say, right? Like, that's the way we should live. If I don't say it, I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm not going to hurt somebody. I'm not going to. So I want us to answer the question then, how do we know when to hold it in? How do we know when to not say that thing that we want to say, or that we're in conversation with other people and we're like, oh, should I bring this up, or should I? Okay. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to think. All right, everybody say that with me. I want you to think. All right, one more time. I want you to think, right? Stop and think. So you see on your sheet, it's T-H-I-N-K. And these are five questions that start with T-I or T-H-A-N-K. Sorry, what did I say? I ain't good speller. I am dyslexic, but I can't blame that. That's just bad spelling. Okay, so think is what I want you to do. And these are five questions you can ask yourself real quick. Whenever you think you want to say something, or maybe when somebody's saying something to you, take this moment and pause. It's good to pause, control your thoughts, to capture thoughts before they turn into words, right? The five questions. Number one question you have to ask yourself, is it true? What I'm about to say, is this actually true? Like, do I know for sure? Or is this something that I think might be true? Is this something that I heard somebody say about something that might be true? Or is this true? Is it actually true? Number one. Number two, H, and think, is it helpful? Because it could be true, but not helpful, right? It could be true, but like, is this going to actually help the conversation? Is this going to help that person? Is this going to benefit them? If it's not helpful, why say it? Maybe because you want to feel good about yourself, right? So is it true? Is it helpful? The I is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? When I say inspiring, it's more like talking about that whole idea of blessing that we just read in 1 Peter. Like, am I blessing somebody with what I'm about to say? Is this inspiring to them? Will it encourage them? Will it bring life to them, right? So is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? N is a very important one. Is it necessary? Like, is it necessary that I say this right now? When I get to that question, thinking about what I'm going to share with somebody, is it necessary? A lot of times, it's just not. You know? Like, they don't need to hear whatever that is. They don't need to hear about whatever that issue is or whatever's going on. It's not necessary. And usually that question right there will stop and check our motives. Because if it's not necessary, why do we want to say it? Why do we want to share it with that person? And that goes back to our motives. Am I just jealous? Do I want to fit in? Do I want to belong? You know, what's going on inside of me? Because it's not necessary for me to say it. Then you probably shouldn't say it. And then the K is it kind? Is it kind? Again, back to that blessing. Is it something nice to say about somebody or something? Or is it, if it's tearing down, or if it's talking negatively about somebody, if it's, you know, ripping apart somebody's character, if it's malicious, is, you know, don't say it. Is it kind? Is it kind? So very practically, these are the questions you can ask yourself. If you're wrestling with, should I share this with somebody? Stop and think. Everybody say that with me. Stop and think. You guys are excited about it. All right. So one more time. Stop and think, right? Think. You got to think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Does it build up? Is it necessary? Do they actually need to hear this or know this? And is it kind or is it unkind? Is it something that's going to actually create something that's not good in that relationship? So before you say it, stop and think. Stop and think, okay? It's very practical. If you are a regular gossip, go get a tattoo on your hand that says think, all right? Seriously, make it permanent. If you're somebody that continually does this, if you continually find yourself over and over and over again, I would say when we there's a passage in Scripture where Jesus is teaching about sin and sins that like continually come up over and over again, kind of those besetting sins. All of us struggle with something. We all have like maybe a key sin issue that we wrestle with. And Jesus is talking. He's talking about, well, he's talking about lust. He's talking about stealing. He says, if your eye causes you to lust, he said, you should poke it out, because it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven without an eye than seeing and walking in lust. He says, if your hand's causing you to sin, cut it off, because it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven without a hand and not sinning than to continue to sin in that issue. It's like, whoa. He wasn't being literal, all right? So when we read like prescriptive and descriptive, he's being descriptive. Here's a picture. And the whole idea is called radical amputation. If there's something that causes sin in your life, radically amputate it from your life. Get rid of it. And when you radically amputate it, put the right thing in place of it. You can't just take something off of your life and then just be like, well, I'm going to keep trying hard to stop doing that, stop doing that, stop doing that. You're just going to keep sinning because you're going to keep going back to it because all you're thinking about is talking and thinking about not doing it. And in turn, you're actually going to do it. It says, instead, do the right thing. Put the good thing back in your life. So if gossip, if speaking things that you shouldn't speak is your sin issue, amputate it. Cut it off. If it's reposting things, get off social media. If it's with a certain crowd that you continually go back to and that's all you do, you might need to create distance in those relationships. You might need to amputate that from your life. And then put on the good thing. You know what the good thing is? Blessing others. Start learning how to speak life into other people. Start learning how to say something good about that person somebody said bad about. Start switching the lens by which you see people. And look at them through the eyes of grace, of love, of peace, of blessing. And maybe you want to get a tattoo, right? Like, you just may want to make that permanent and say, this was my sin issue, so I want to think now. I want to bless others, right? Instead of curse. I would also encourage you to amputate what I call the tongue looseners. There's some things that open our mouths that shouldn't, right? Number one is alcohol. You drink too much, you're probably going to say things you regret. And then you might be like, what did I say, right? Like, if you're no longer in control and alcohol is now in control, the enemy is now in control, right? God isn't with you any longer in that moment. If the Holy Spirit's not controlling your life, I believe that the enemy has control of your life. And that's why Scripture says don't get drunk. It doesn't say don't drink. It says don't get drunk because you lose control. Alcohol becomes a tongue loosener. So if you want to know something about somebody, just get them really drunk and then ask them crazy questions, right? It's like truth serum. Don't do that. I didn't say that, all right? I'm being sarcastic, right? So avoid those things that do that. Avoid group settings where you find yourself joining into that party of saying things you shouldn't say. Avoid your desire to belong to a certain crowd. Avoid looking for validation in people, because you're going to do whatever it takes to be validated by the people that matter most to you. And that's where life gets dangerous. Until you really understand that your validation comes from your Heavenly Father, who knows you, who made you, who created you, who loves you, who shows grace to you. When you have that kind of relationship with your Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter what other people think anymore, right? So seek your validation in God, not other people. Beware of those tongue looseners that do that. Last week, I read Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to wrap up with Ephesians 4:29 again. but I'm going to keep reading in the next verse that we didn't read last Sunday. Because Ephesians 4:29 and the following, it says this, again, a challenge to us through the book of Ephesians. Paul is writing this letter, and he says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Again, as Christians, we're learning to bless others. We're learning to speak life into others and speak life about others to others, right? We're blessing them by blessing them in front of others and learning how to do that, that it may benefit those who listen. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And I believe this verse is in there on a purpose. I believe that when we speak death, when we speak gossip, when we speak foul, when we tear other people apart, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Because those are not his words coming out of your mouth, right? It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Verse 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." And it's interesting in verse 31, a lot of those have to do with what you say, right? Bitterness comes out into rage and anger. Those are words that come out, brawling and slander, tearing down other people, along with every form of malice, just shredding people, right? "Be kind instead and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God has forgiven you." That's the call of a Christ follower. With what we've received from God, the words that bring life through scriptures and through the Holy Spirit that he has given us, he says, then now go give it to others. The grace and forgiveness you've received, now go show that grace and forgiveness to other people. Learn how to be one that brings blessing, not cursing. Forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. I don't know about you, but Christ has forgiven me a lot. Every day he forgives me. I'm grateful for that. Amen? I'm so glad that I have a real faith with a real God who really loves me and speaks life into me every single day. I tell you, there's times where the enemy tries to get my attention. There's times where doubt comes in. There's times when people say things about me, even to my face or behind my back, that I hear about later, and the enemy can bring insecurity into my thought life, causing me to spiral into uncertainty. And that's part of my curse. That's something I've wrestled with my whole life, is those insecurities. And I've learned how to change my mind, to change my thinking, to change my life and my actions, and to be compassionate towards those people, to forgive them, knowing just how much God has forgiven me. My identity is in God alone. My Heavenly Father loves me no matter what stupid thing I do today. Isn't that good news? And that he forgives me every single day, every morning. His grace and mercy is anew. And we have the opportunity every morning to do that same thing for everybody else around us. I want our identity as Christians to be found in Christ alone, our security to be found in our Heavenly Father, not in anybody else. Because when we live like that, we live a blessed life, and we bless everybody that we're around. God, thank you for this word this morning. It can be a challenging one, and it can be one that we think about other people, not ourselves with. This thing called gossip, you know, that is so sneaky. I pray, God, that this morning, if we wrestle with this, if we're prone to say things we shouldn't, if we're prone to repost or post things that we shouldn't, if we're prone to bring negative thoughts to people, I pray right now by the power of your Spirit that you would convict us. That we would ask for your forgiveness, that we would ask for you to start to change our hearts and our actions, that you would help us, God, by the power of your Spirit, to think, to think before we speak, and that people would see us as Christians differently than they see the world, because we look different, we live blessed, and we bless others. I just have a few words of challenge here at the end before we wrap up the message. if you struggle with this one, if this one for you, maybe today there's been a little conviction. Maybe for you it's like, just this week, maybe something was said or you did something or spoke or posted or whatever it might be. I want you to ask for forgiveness from God. Like, take that action and just say, God, please forgive me for doing that. And if you want to go to the next step, if it was about a certain person, I would say go ask for forgiveness from that person. And see what God might do in the midst of that. Healing that might come, it might not come. That person still might curse you, but we're still called to bless, right? But I don't know too many people that when you go and say, hey, I'm sorry I wronged you in this way, and I'm not going to do this any longer, will you please forgive me? It takes a pretty evil person to say, no, screw you. But for us, we write the script before we go do it, and we already think they're going to say, screw you. We already think we're going to get attacked in the process. You might not, but even if you do, just like the passage says, we still bless. We still bless them. So that, in return, we inherit the blessing God has for us. We reap what we sow. And God's calling us to sow some good words into those around us. Now, in words in general, in this series, if God's convicting you of something, honestly, just ask him to forgive you and start putting on something different. Whatever that issue that with your mouth that comes out, whatever it is, start replacing it with something good. And maybe it might be that you're putting a lot of bad into your brain to begin with in your thought life, and maybe you're consuming a lot of things that you shouldn't be consuming into your life, media or relationships. Maybe it's time to cut off those things, radically amputate that input so that it's not just becoming the output of your life, and go fill yourself with the things that are true and that are good so that you can be giving out the good things that you've received, right? So maybe that you need to cut off whatever that thing is. Put the good back in so that you can give the good because it's already in you. You've received it. Is everybody with me on that? Okay. I'm going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to actually ask, I know we have a few members of the prayer team. I'm going to ask the prayer team to kind of be over here underneath this tree in the shade up front. And if you have anything that you want somebody to pray with you about, we believe that when we pray, just like that passage says, and we're righteous in pursuing God, that he listens and that he shows up and he actually does something. Like, he moves. And so if you have anything that you need somebody to pray with you with, that's what the prayer team's for. They want to intercede on your behalf. They want to lift it up with you. They want to pray in agreement with you and see God move in that area of your life. And so whatever it is, it doesn't have to do with the sermon. Maybe there's something that you just like, this is really a burden, or maybe you're struggling with something, or maybe there's something physical you want to pray that God would bring some healing in your life. I'm going to ask as I pray, if the prayer team, you guys can go under there. If anybody wants to go over and pray with somebody on the prayer team, go do that as we wrap things up or even afterwards, okay? That's why they are here, to pray with you. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll close things out here in a minute. So you guys just bow your heads and pray with me. God, convict us where we need convicted. Forgive us where we need forgiven. And help us to ask for it and seek it. I pray by the power of your Spirit that we would not grieve you. We would not grieve your work in our hearts and in our lives. That we would love you and choose to love you and to walk in obedience to your word and truth and walk into the blessings and sow and reap your blessings in our life and relationships with other people. So God, as we move throughout this week, help us look different as Christians. Help us represent you well in the kingdom of heaven well, God. And we just ask you to do this in Christ's name. And everybody said amen. Amen.